Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, how big is your business?
I've got a, Phil, I've got a cabinet-making business, basically, for, I'd say we've been in business now about 7 years.
And so you're a cabinet, you do interior construction?
Yeah, we do subcontracting. A lot of people are remodeling their homes, but it's also very competitive because of the fact that this is a down economy. And when you are someone who's trying to live a good life and you're trying to teach your children good morals, it's tough to go out into the world to do some of these jobs and some of these homes and still come back and maintaining your dignity like a human being. And it's tough for us.
All right, I'm talking to just one of many construction and service-oriented people who have, we've been talking to this week. You do construction, and we're talking about the economy. You do construction in homes, interior?
Cabinet work, mostly.
All right, cabinetry and kitchens?
Yes, sir.
And you say that it is difficult to work in today's home. Why?
It's difficult for us to go into these homes and to see a lot of the way people live. And I would not take these jobs were it not for the fact that I need the money. But when I go in, and I have a crew of one other person, so it's myself, I have a helper by the name of Cody, we go in, we do the jobs, and I have to, being at home, sometimes they have pornographic materials laying around, sometimes, because a lot of the homeowners will leave and say, well, we're going for a couple of hours, we continue to work inside the home.
I know that my wife and I have done the same thing. We've had some work done in our home, and we'll leave, and a workman is in there, but you're noticing things that are inside the house when you are left there?
Well, I think it's difficult not to.
You mentioned pornographic materials. What else?
The movies that some of these people look at, the music some of these people listen to is offensive to me. It's offensive to the people that I work with. And again, I wouldn't take the job were it not for the fact that this is a down economy. We need the money. But I think that what we have done, I think morally, is the proper course, even though we are technically stealing, and yes, I'm not being honest.
Because you're telling me that you go into a home to redo the kitchen cabinets, and you'll see pornographic materials. And by when you say pornographic, Mr. Marco, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about some of these magazines that show all of the everything, some of the movies that show everything. I was using a telephone in the master bedroom. One of the jobs we were doing out here in Santa Clarita, I used a telephone in the master bedroom, and there was underwear and this kind of thing. I don't want to get into it.
Well, you don't have to describe it.
But the point being that's why we removed these items.
And you're taking this stuff out of the people's houses and doing what with it?
Well, we're basically just getting rid of it.
Why?
Because, again...
Because that's technically stealing. Look, if somebody hires you...
Mr. Henry, I'm an honest man.
Well, okay, you're an honest man as far as it goes, but if somebody hires you to come into their house and do some work inside the house and they leave, and you're taking items that you think are offensive to you and getting rid of them, that's stealing.
That is maintaining my dignity as a human being and as a Christian, and at the same time, I don't think it's stealing. All we're doing is getting rid of some of the offensive, whether it's underwear or this kind of thing, and maintaining my dignity.
And what, do the people notice this stuff is gone?
Yes, they do, sir.
Do they ask you where it went?
Sometimes they have asked us, have we seen this or have we seen that? We'll say, no, we have not.
So you lie. You lie.
Absolutely. And I'm not denying that I lie, but I'm lying so that we can maintain our dignity as decent human beings and continue to operate like the creatures God intended us to be, walking upright, instead of walking around on our knuckles like half of these people that I do jobs for, where they have filth laying on their coffee tables and filth in their VCRs, whatever you want to call it, dog collars, all of this. So, yes, sir.
Why take the job from someone to redo their kitchen cabinets? Why take a job from someone to redo their ceiling lights or whatever it is you do, Mr. Marca, when you're going to wind up stealing items from their home?
We do not steal, sir.
Well, you're taking stuff that belongs to somebody else.
Yes, that is technically true. But I have it within my right as a Christian to remove any offending material while I'm trying to do my job, putting in a cabinet, which is a delicate operation and certainly demands concentration, And I'm aware all the time over on the coffee table is a pornographic piece of film. And, of course, the boxes show everything now. And I can't do that. And
so you're being distracted.
Anybody would be. We are simply trying to restore dignity in these homes. If that takes removing some of these items, so be it.
All right, that's a very interesting conversation we're having with Mr. Austin Amarca. He's a cabinetry man. We'll get back to his phone call in just a second. I want to give our phone numbers out. He does a lot of cabinet work, interior carpentry work. And he says the economy is so down that they'll take any job they can, but he's gone into some homes and seen pornographic videotapes, pornographic materials, magazines, these kinds of things. He mentioned underwear at one point, and it's difficult for them to do their job when they know that stuff is there, so they remove this stuff from the home, and they don't tell the homeowners. And, of course, he technically that's stealing, but when he's asked, and the thing that I want to ask you, Mr. Mark, and I'm just bringing my audience up to date, when you're asked, do you know what happened to the stuff, you say, no, I don't. Are you there, sir?
Sir, I'm right here.
Okay, you say...
Could you repeat your question?
Yeah. When you're asked, do you know what happened to the stuff, you say no.
That's correct, sir.
Why do you lie?
Because, sir, if I told them that I was removing... We saw a homosexual and a bisexual pornographic material, and I'm told if I tell them I took it, obviously they're going to fire me, and we need to work. The economy is too soft.
So you don't want to tell them you stole this stuff?
I don't consider it stealing when I am trying to maintain...
When you take something from somebody's house that doesn't belong to you and you don't tell them you took it, you don't think that's stealing?
No, I do not in this case.
What's the difference?
In this case, we are taking filth, and it shows everything on the box. If you have been into an adult bookstore and you have gotten one of these adult bisexual or homosexual movies, and on the box it shows everything, you would understand that while I'm trying to do cabinetry work or I'm positioning some new canned lighting in someone's family room and laying on a coffee table is a woman who has no clothing on at all, is being attended to by another woman, there are no men, that you can understand, and one of the women is wearing something that only a man should be wearing. I think you understand what I...
All right, you don't have to... So this is offending you?
It would offend any decent man trying to maintain it. And Cody, who is my assistant, was in the master bedroom. He came out with some kind of a lubricant material. Now, he was upset and...
You don't have to describe what it is, though.
No, but he was upset, and he could hardly finish the job that day. I'm trying to maintain my morality as a Christian man, maintain my job and keep my family fed, and by all that, not having to look at someone's lubricant or this kind of situation. Now, that is...
And again, I don't need the graphicness.
I'm sorry.
But you're saying that you have every right in the world if you go into a home where you think there's offending materials to take them out of there.
Yes, sir, I do. And again, think about what they're missing. It's nothing they're really good. They can go out and buy it again.
Well, it costs money.
Well, if it costs money and they don't have enough money to buy it, then they're spending their money on the wrong stuff.
You know that you're giving a bad name to... You say Christian, right?
Yes, sir.
You know you're giving a bad name to anybody that calls himself a Christian.
I don't maintain that I'm just saying that I got my own personal relationship with Jesus. And I feel that in order to feed my family, stealing these kinds of underwears and this, all of this... is not bad.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is a down economy, and in it, men and women are forced to do lots of different jobs. This man does interior construction work, in which sometimes he finds himself in a home where there are offending adult videotapes, offending adult pornographic materials, clothing, etc. He says, in order to maintain his decency, he takes those materials out of the home and gets rid of them. Now, I would imagine most people should remove that stuff if they have workmen there. Or should they? Isn't it the right of a homeowner to have laying around anything that he wants to have laying around, and the construction worker or the cabinet maker or whoever it is just going to have to overlook it? Or does that guy have the right to steal that stuff and get rid of it because he's a Christian? 1-800-449-8686. It's a fascinating question. We'll get back with Mr. Austin Amarca, who is a cabinet, does inside cabinetry work in the Santa Clarita Valley. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of Bounds. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Austin Amarca. He's a cabinet man. Interior construction is something that people do. They do additions to their homes. This man says that it is difficult for them to do their work when pornographic materials are inside the home, when offensive materials are inside the home. A lot of these guys, you know, the homeowner trusts you while they're not there to be there to do the work.
I understand that, Mr. Hendry, and I do appreciate that, sir. And I try not to violate that trust.
And yet, if you find bisexual videotapes or you find underwear or something that's offensive, you take it out of there.
That is the only case. We do not... I'm not selling this for profit. I'm trying to maintain my decency as a human that walks upright and that I'm not an animal. Now, Bill Wheeler, who I told you about, and Mr. Wheeler's story was well documented in the Los Angeles Times, is a carpenter who had been going through, I believe, the laundry of one of these individuals. Bill is a very dear friend of mine, a very moral man.
Now, he'd been going through the laundry.
That is correct. And it was his determination that there was some kind of a flavored feminine hygiene product that had been used. That is a violation, in our opinion, of Christian ethic.
And why?
I'm sorry?
Why?
Because that connotes that there is oral sex being practiced, and that is a violation of the Christian ethic if a flavored or scented feminine hygiene product is being used. Now, that's well known throughout the Christian community.
So he smelt underwear? Are you telling me the truth? This guy did that?
Sir, see, if we take a job and go into your...
I just want to hear the answer. Did he?
Yes, sir, he did, but there are reasons.
So this guy determined after sniffing some woman's underwear that this was not the right place...
And he did quit the job, yes, sir. I have a family. I can't do it.
1-800-449-8686. Do construction workers inside your home when you're not there have the right to take out pornographic materials or offensive material? Sharon, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Sharon?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Well, I just wanted to say to the gentleman that he is trying to take God's job, and God did not give him that job. His responsibility as a Christian is to pray for these people and to bring them to Christianity.
Absolutely.
And to Jesus.
Absolutely.
Not take things out of their home,
which is
clearly stealing.
Do you believe that we are also in some place, eyes and ears of God?
Oh, yes.
And I also believe that in Bud Wheeler's case, we are the nose of God, if you want. And
I think going into a woman's underwear and sniffing it is offensive.
Not when you are trying to determine if you're in a home where sin is being committed.
Then you should not take a job in that home. I babysit for 27 children and they in different families.
Well, how
and
am I
have seen some offensive things, but I have never removed them from their home because it's none of my business.
It's God's business. Do you go through the hamper? Do you go through drawers or anything like that, ma'am?
No, I do not. I take care of the children. I do my job.
Let me ask
how
you,
Sharon. How come you're not putting up the cabinets like you're supposed to be? Why
yes,
are you snooping around and being snoopy?
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
Why are you snooping around in someone else's home instead of doing your job and putting up the cabinets?
Because I have to determine what kind of a home we're in. Secondly, I am doing the cabinet work, and I think it is one terrible thing to do to a man while he's putting cabinets in your kitchen and you've absentmindedly left around a sex aid laying on the coffee table or a videotape depicting bisexual or homosexual activity, and they show everything on the box these days. I don't know if you've seen these. Everything is hanging out, and you can see it all.
I don't go into porno stores.
No, neither do I, man.
I don't know.
No, neither do I, but I'm talking about some of the websites that we've investigated. And so it's difficult when you have to level out a cabinet that you've rebuilt, and I'm talking about going into drywall now, not into plaster. And meanwhile, there's a box sitting on a coffee table with everything hanging out. I'd give you $100 if you can level that cabinet out.
Well, I don't understand why you feel the need to take over God's job, because this is his responsibility to bring these people around. You are to pray for them, and he will show them the way and the truth and
dear,
the light.
I totally agree with you, but I do beautiful cabinetry work, and I think it's the work of God. My work will get marred, and that is God's work will get marred if we are offended by ball gags or strap-on things. That's not what God wants.
I know that, all right, but you are marring God by doing this to these people, and then they come home, they find out their items are gone, and then they and you say, well, hey, I'm a Christian. I have the right to get that out of your house because I'm putting some cabinets up.
They're
just going to say, hey, you're just getting into our house and doing things you're not supposed to be doing. That makes God look bad.
Well, no, it does not make
God. I'm a Christian.
God doesn't want a ball gag in a home. God doesn't want a strap-on in a home.
No,
God
but you're trying to take over his job. You're a Budinsky sort of.
Ma'am, who else is going to do it? You think God's going to come sweep down in an invisible
way?
Yes,
he will send the right people to do it. He doesn't necessarily need you to do it, and maybe he doesn't want to do it. Maybe he's leaving it there for a reason.
You know
because
full
God
well.
Does everything for a reason. He allows certain things to happen so that he can be the number one in their life. Not you, and you're trying to be number one.
Ma'am, can I ask you a question? Are you telling me you can properly babysit children even if you see a lavender silicone device that's left on a bathroom counter? I don't understand.
If I see something, I do not touch it, but I'll tell you what, I don't go back there.
That's the key. There's the key.
Don't go back. I cannot.
Yeah, don't go back. Sharon, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
Thanks
a lot. 1-800-449. That's a very thoughtful lady.
Absolutely, Phil. And but she doesn't understand that the war we fight is a war that we have to fight while we still maintain employment.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I'm speaking with Austin DeMarco. He's a construction cabinet, construction worker, carpenter.
Yes, sir, I do a lot of carpentry.
All right, and he builds cabinets, and he has been in homes lately that have a lot of pornographic material laying around in it, and it offends you.
Yeah, absolutely, sir, yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Loretta, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, Loretta, go ahead.
Yes, I have a feeling that this gentleman is secretly very fascinated by this stuff.
No, ma'am.
I think you are.
No, ma'am.
Because you go to great lengths to sniff this stuff out. I think you're secretly fascinated by it, as Christians, or so-called Christians, often are.
Yeah.
And
if I
was working in a home where there were things offensive to me, I'd throw a quilt over them and continue on with my work. But the fact that you cannot work with them sitting there means you are secretly fascinated with them.
Ma'am, I find that very unfair, and that is not true. I am trying to maintain a decent life.
It's not your home. I think that this show should be broadcasting your name, phone number, and the town you live in so that people can be aware of you.
That's a good point. Why can't we give your name?
I'd rather you not.
Well, there you go. You shouldn't even be allowed to speak on the radio. I would give my full name and number for anything I ever said.
Ma'am, I first of all, no one's going to obviously hire me.
Then you admit it.
That's right. You don't deserve to be hired. A person's home is their sacred place, and you have no right to change the interior decoration.
No, ma'am, I'm not changing decoration. I'm removing from the home unnecessary sexual devices.
But they're necessary to the people that reside there. Don't you understand? You're violating their home.
Ma'am, I would ask you with all due respect of a Christian man.
If I had chickens in my home, that would be my business to raise chickens in my home. It's the same thing as if somebody wants to watch sexy movies. It is none of your business. Cover it with a quilt.
Ma'am, what is the purpose of a ball gag if not to humiliate a woman?
But that's not your business. You're there to build the cabinet.
That's right. You're a cabinet man, and you aren't the moral police.
Well, I throw a quilt. I don't own a quilt.
It's a canvas, piece of canvas.
I work with very sharp power saws, and the thought of sodomy that goes on in these homes can be dangerous for myself.
All I'm going to say in closing is I'm not going to fight with you.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
One 800-449-8686.
Talking with Austin DeMarco
on the Phil Hendry Show.
Sorry, baby. talking with Austin Amarca, who is a cabinet maker from the Santa Clarita Valley. You are a Christian. You don't have any problems describing yourself as such?
I'm very proud of that, Mr. Ed.
All right, hold on, hold on. You don't have any problems describing that as such? You say when you go into a home to do some cabinet work or carpentry work and you see offending materials like pornographic videotapes, if the homeowners aren't there, you take them out of there.
That is correct.
What if the homeowner is there?
If the homeowner is there, obviously I will not do anything because it's his legal right to keep...
Aha! See, so if he's there, you won't do anything.
However, hold on for a minute. If you leave your home and you give me the key to your home, okay?
Yeah.
You've given me tacit approval to be in your home, and therefore, by law, I can go through your home and look into things that could be wrong. And
no, you can't, sir.
Yes, I can. If you leave me in your home with the key to your house, if you let me in there, as you yourself have said you do with some workmen.
Yes, I do, if we have work that needs to be done.
Then I am allowed, because you're giving me tacit approval, to go into areas and look at things. Now, here's a...
No, I haven't asked you...
I'm there. Did you give me permission to be in your home?
Yes, I did. I gave you permission to work in my home.
Well, but if you... No court in the land is going to say, well, you're not allowed to go in. Now, I went into the master bedroom to use the phone, and that's when I saw the ball gag, and my friend, the workman Cody, and a very dear friend of mine, and Bud Wheeler, and we talked about this at church, about the underwear. You can smell the strawberry
Okay, please don't get any more graphic than you already have, sir, okay? But you're saying that because you're there and they've given you permission to be there and they're not there, you can go where you want.
I can go within reason. If there's something that offends me, certainly. Let me ask you something. If the house was set on fire, am I supposed to leave and not do nothing about it?
I would expect you would want to put the fire out.
And they'd want me to, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Same goes for if I'm in the house and laying there on a table with everything hanging out, all of the big breasts and everything, is some kind of a lesbian affair that I knew nothing about, and now I've got to do something with it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Al, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I have a problem with this gentleman because he's using the name of Christianity to go into these people's homes and steal their porn, and he's claiming to be a Christian, but he's sinning when he goes into the home and he steals the porn, and that's stealing, which is one of the Ten Commandments, and he's lying about it, which is another one of the Ten Commandments, and he shouldn't do that and say it's in the name of Christianity.
Well, but lying is not one of the Ten Commandments, I don't think. I could be wrong.
Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal.
Which I know about stealing, I know that, but God allows us to steal. How's it stealing if I'm stealing someone's sexual strap-on device? How's that stealing?
Because it doesn't belong to you.
Well, it shouldn't belong. It shouldn't belong to anybody. It belongs to the devil. That's who
it
belongs
to. But by you stealing, if you're taking it into your possession, that's also wrong.
I'm keeping
it away. So now that possession is in your possession, and if it's wrong, then it's wrong in your possession.
Well, what do you think? I'm using it? I'm keeping it away.
I don't know what you're doing, but it's not right. What you're doing is not right. It's not right in the name of Christianity. And you're using Christianity to say that's your job. That's not your job. That's God's job.
Hell,
the Bible tells you not to judge. Therefore, you shall be judged.
Al, if you broke into a home to save a child from drowning in a bathtub, they might say you broke and entered in that home, but most of them would say you saved that child's life.
But how would you know there was a child inside the home that was drowning in a bathtub?
Well, if the
how possibly would you know that?
Wouldn't you break into a house to save a child what is drowning? Of course you would.
How would I know that there was a child in the home drowning?
She might be screaming for help. Okay? Now, me taking vibrating...
You don't have to describe it.
I'm sorry?
You don't have to describe it.
All right, but me taking one of them out, that's the same deal.
No, it's not. And you also said that you investigated on porno websites. How is that showing any kind of Christian behavior?
I investigated over 3,000 porn websites and saw, I wouldn't even have seen this one thing had it not been sitting there glowing in the dark, because a lot of these glow in the dark.
But you're not answering my question.
What's that?
Why were you on 3,000 porn websites?
To investigate. A lot of these things look like, see, a lot of them are disguised as pot holders or this kind of thing.
But that's not Christian behavior.
I've got to know if I go into a home to do cabinet work and I see something glowing on a coffee table and they tell me it's a lampstand and it turns out to be, you know, Big Boss Man number 63, the 9-incher, and I didn't know anything about that.
God, you know something? This man's right. This Al is right. You're investigating this. You know this stuff way too well.
I have to maintain my soul.
You're not maintaining your soul that way. You're feeling.
All right. Al, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Kevin, go ahead. Kevin?
Phil. Oh, yeah, Phil.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, I'm a retired union carpenter myself, and I've had over 26 years experience in this. And I've had to do a lot of the similar work that this gentleman is talking about. And, you know, if you're doing cabinet work, which is very accurate and precise, you need to have your tools laid out in front of you. It's a two-man job to put those cabinets, you know, in their place.
Tell me something I don't know.
Tell
me something I don't know.
Why aren't you doing that? Instead of being a more pulled towards the living room table or ending up in a master bedroom where there's no cabinets to be put up, and you're using the phone, and what right did you have to go in the master bedroom? And the other thing is this. If you see that thing when you go in to bid on that job,
yes, sir.
Why don't you say, could you please remove any pornographic material or anything offensive to my Christian faith? And I'll be back tomorrow to do the job gladly.
Well, sir, that's a very good idea.
See, that's a good idea. That's when you're bidding the job, say, well, if you want my work.
But I couldn't afford to lose this job, see, because...
correct, and I know that.
I'm in the state of California where the economy is very bad.
Correct.
And so you know what I'm saying, right?
Right.
That sounds reasonable. The problem right now is that I do have quite a bit of this stuff that I've confiscated in my garage, and I don't know whether I should give it back.
Well, you call it confiscated, but you know what? I think if...
I've got six kids to feed.
I feel as though if your customers knew that you had removed those items out of their house and they can prove that those were... That belongs to them, they can have a policeman go over there and have that stuff given back.
That's right. In other words, you could be arrested.
With
a crime.
Well, look, I'm not going to take out an ad in the paper that says, if you're missing a Big Boss Man 9-inch...
No, you're not going to do that.
Let's get away from that.
Get
in the now and talk about the now and your work procedure. All you have to do is...
I'm thinking about
snooping as around as you are going into the master bedrooms and finding...
You know what I'm talking about, though, Kevin. You're a former cabinet guy, right?
Well, yes.
All right.
I've done that.
And you're telling me you've never gone into a hamper. Come on.
I have never
gone
into a hamper. I have never done any of that. That is off limits. My job is to do the construction job.
You get into serious trouble, and not only that, you're going to put a bad name on all the carpenters, all the guys who do cabinet work.
Exactly.
Give them all a bad name.
What's going to happen? You're talking about the economy, Larry. The carpenters, they're going to take a dive in pay raise because of people like you.
Well, you can smell the strawberry douche.
Okay, that's it. I don't want to talk about this anymore. This guy's a freak.
To go into the basement... You know, when he should be in the kitchen, and to go into the master bedroom to use the phone when he's supposed to be in the kitchen putting up, cabinets, it just doesn't make sense, Phil.
Hey, Kevin, I got to go because we're doing a tilt-up, and one of them just dropped out, I think, on one of my men.
Oh,
Jesus.
Gracious.
What, are you kidding me?
Well,
it's okay with Cody.
All right.
Oh,
listen.
It's okay with Cody.
Yeah,
well,
thanks a lot, Kevin.
Touché, huh,
Phil? All right, bye-bye. See you later.
Jesus, somebody dig him out.
A tilt-up wall just fell on Cody, the guy who had his nose in the hamper drawer. Thanks a lot there, Austin. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The voice of Austin and Market was actually portrayed or played by me. The people that called in were unpaid, unprompted, real people thinking Austin was a real guy. Don't you ever worry about having guys in the house while you're out? And then, okay, go ahead, Eddie. Go ahead, take care of it. And then you're thinking, well, the guy, is he sniffing underwear? Nah, he's not that kind of a guy, is he? Anyway, coming up. Are the songs that your kids learn at summer camp, are those songs driving you to the point where you're not being able to balance your checkbook? Are your kids singing those repetitively driving you to the brink of homicide? We'll be talking about that coming up here on the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our email address. It's phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be reading some emails that we got later on in the program. And also on our website, www.philhenryshow.com, you can pick up our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. And that is available in our souvenir shop. It's called World Famous. It's our Best of CD. We're very proud of it. And it's also a terrific buy because it is a two CD set. For the price of one. And all the money that we raise goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Okay, we had an anonymous caller to the show yesterday talking about how, despite the fact that he doesn't like Italians, he allowed his daughter to marry one, he paid for her wedding, he even got into a conga line dancing with them. The last straw, though, was when he saw the future father-in-law to his daughter sitting there drinking wine and laughing at him.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
To the sick puppy that's on the line, I want to tell you something about Italians that you don't know because you don't read or study anything.
How do you know I don't read?
We are the best people in the world, the most kindest, loving people.
Here we go.
We have contributed more to the world than you will ever see,
you always
people
say that. When they pull a body out of the East River, you guys always
you
say that.
You do not know anything. You don't know how to eat. You don't know how to live. You don't know how to do anything. And you want to compare yourself with the Italians? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Then why don't you make your husband go into a conga line?
You,
and the fact
and
that I had to get
on a... woman you were married to must have run when she... when she found out what a sick puppy you were.
How come they're not in the conga line
you,
and I am?
You're nothing but a cheap son of a bitch. That's why you don't want to spend the money.
Like, this is just
I never heard of such a thing, people eating, and he doesn't want people to eat. I never heard of such a anything
no, no, no.
So
it's
stupid
not
in my life.
It's not that I don't want him to eat. That's not the point.
Yes,
the point
it is. That's
no.
what you were saying.
All right, but let
you
me make the point.
You don't want him to eat. You don't want him to drink.
I don't like to see
them.
I don't like to see them eating while they're making me be in a conga line, and that's that father of
that
his.
That is the most stupidest thing. You should hear yourself over the radio what you sound like.
What did I say?
It's totally ridiculous.
What?
And if your people can compare with my people, you got a long day coming, guys.
You know what, ma'am?
You can't compare us.
You know,
we have a beautiful country.
You sound just like my
wife. We have the best food in the world, the best culture
and
everything.
Beautiful country,
and
huh?
You've got nothing. You've contributed nothing.
Then why don't you get on Al Italia and fly
but
back?
But a bunch of drunken bums. That's all you are.
Look, those
Good
Italians at my daughter's wedding wanted hot and cold antipasto. Can you imagine the absolute selfishness of those people? And I'll tell you something else, Phil. She must be Italian. I can hear her mustache brushing against the...
That's not necessary.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
There you go. There's our anonymous caller. Sounded like Bob Green to me, though. Now, in the midst of our campaign to have professional athletes begin to behave in something approaching human-like, manner, in the midst of our campaign to have, for instance, professional football players act like human beings instead of complete and utter animals, we do want to point out the passing of a great man who actually contributed much to the sport of football, Tex Schramm. He was the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. And if you think of the Cowboys and you think of Staubach, you think of Chuck Howell, you think of Herb Adderley, you think of even the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders or Bob Lilly or Randy White, you got to think of Tex Schramm because he's the guy that put that whole thing together, that whole America's Team thing. They had at the highlight, at the height of the Texas, what are they called? The Dallas Cowboys. They're so great. I just love them. What's the name of the team? The Dallas Texans. At the height of the Dallas Cowboy power in the 80s, they had a radio station network of 225 stations. And they had a full Hispanic network, and they had those cheerleaders, and they had a movie about it. You know, the Cowboys were big time. And, you know, they were in the 90s, too, with Jimmy Johnson, but there was nothing quite like the Dallas. You didn't hate a team quite like you hated the 1970s Dallas Cowboys. Oh, God. On into the early 80s. Staubach, he'd kill you every day. He just beat you to death every day. And he always had a wide receiver out there, Drew Pearson, somebody out there ready to burn your ass. Just when you thought you guys were, you were set, you were on your way to the Super Bowl, here comes Staubach. The name itself means come from behind. As far as I'm concerned, Roger Staubach's the greatest come from behind quarterback ever. Ever. Elway was great. Marino, good. You never seen anything like Roger Staubach. And he was a rookie at 26 because he was in the United States Naval Academy where he won the Heisman Trophy. Then he did his four-year tour with the Navy. And by the time he finally got out, he was, you know, in his late 20s. And we're talking about Hollywood Henderson. And we're talking about all those guys they had in the defensive secondary of the Cowboys. And how about Tony Dorsett? And how about Calvin Hill? And does anybody remember the name Dwayne Thomas? Nobody remembers Dwayne Thomas. Dwayne Thomas was great. He was a great running back. Dwayne Thomas, though, couldn't stand talking to the media. And as a result, Dwayne Thomas never talked to the media. And I'm talking 71, 72, 73, when Dwayne Thomas ran for the... He never talked to reporters. And so, as you might imagine, he got nothing but negative press. Only one guy knew how to talk to him, and that was Tom Landry, the guy that Tex Schramm hired. He could talk to Dwayne Thomas, and Dwayne Thomas would play for the man in the hat. But other than that, forget it. So yeah, the Cowboys and Tex Schramm. So he passed on. He was 83. He was 39 when he took over the Dallas Cowboys, and he did within a few years what some clowns can't do still to this day. Like, imagine if Tex Schramm would have worked for the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, I take that back. Tex Schramm never would have worked for the Arizona Cardinals. How about the Colts? All right, 1-800-449 or whatever crap canteen they're going to be bringing in here next year. 1-800-449-8686. Are the songs your children are learning at summer camp destructive? Interesting. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Is summer camp, is it bad for your kids? A lot of parents have their kids in summer camp. Vernon Dozier is a high school football coach. He is also a father. He is an educator. And you have been very vocal over the last several weeks, talking with parent groups and also getting a little media play, Mr. Dozier, on how destructive, and you say violently destructive, summer camps are. What do you mean by that?
Well, Phil, first of all, thank you for having me on your program. I think the people that own and run summer camps have a vendetta against parents because I don't think they've got children of their own. Summer camp is destructive, and the last thing we need is to be at odds with our children. I think that's the number one thing that happens. Parents and children immediately are at odds with each other after a kid comes home from camp, at least in my case. And I think a lot of these summer camps where they claim they're helping the kids spend a healthy summer, in fact, only serve to indoctrinate the kids into being more difficult at home. All they're doing at summer camp right now is making children much tougher to handle.
Really? I mean, so a kid comes home from summer camp. I haven't noticed. My own daughter has gone to summer camp. I don't know if she's more difficult or less. I mean, they're kids. They're difficult.
Well, I'd rather, if they're kids, they're difficult. Okay, let's take what you just said and let's run with that. Okay, if they're kids and they're difficult, why make them more difficult? I'd rather they be at home watching television. And I have talked to parent group after parent group. I have talked to teachers groups after teachers groups. I have told them that the only way we're going to shut down summer camps once and for all is for all of us to join in. And I'm getting sick and tired of parents who have no guts and would rather send their kid off to a summer camp, and they don't care about any of us, me and other parents who suffer at the hands of these summer camps.
Tell me what is going on specifically in your home and what you think is happening.
Well, first of all, it's not a secret. If you want, I will articulate it, Phil, but it's not any secret. The children go off to these camps. They sit around campfires or what have you and learn these songs. And I'll give you an example of one that my daughter learned. And it may sound innocuous, but it's the kind of thing that when repeated a lot, especially when you're at home trying to do bills, you're at home trying to have a discussion with your wife, you're at home trying to get some work done, suddenly it's no longer an innocuous song, but it is something that is very dangerous in terms of its ability to distract you and to ultimately confuse you.
Now, you had an example of a song?
I have one here. We've written down several. These are summer camp songs. Miss Susie had a steamboat. The steamboat had a bell. Miss Susie went to heaven. The steamboat went to hello, operator. Right there, it's supposed to be the steamboat went to hell. But
the kids change it?
Well, the camp counselor changed it. The steamboat went to hello, operator, get me number 9, and if you disconnect me, I'll cut off your behind the refrigerator. So it continues on. Now, this, when my daughter got home, and I'm talking about 2 summers ago, when I first had my medical problem. I had an emotional problem last year, and this year we've decided to be proactive, Phil. But this was a song she came back with. There's another one.
Well, before you go to what is happening when the kids come home from camp and they're singing these songs?
Well, they are very repetitive, and when the kids sing them over and over and over again, and you're trying to balance a checkbook, I can give you an example. My wife and I were doing bills, and this was last summer when I first had treatment over here at the Harsley Clinic. She came home with Miss Susie had a steamboat. The steamboat had a bell. It was going over and over again. We were overdrawn that summer by $2,000. 2 Visa cards weren't paid. And that's the direct result of the distracting song that my daughter learned at camp. So you can see, while summer camp looks benign and looks as if it's something that is not dangerous, every time a child comes home from summer camp with one of these songs, and I put that in quotes, all it does is irritate the parents, cause strife in the home, and the summer camps know that, and that's the key. They know it, they love it, and they keep doing it.
Why?
Why
would the summer camps teach children purposefully distracting, irritating songs?
Because these people don't have children of their own. Every summer camp is run by adults who couldn't have kids. And they resent that, and this is a tacit...
So, in other words, this is a plot?
No, I stopped short of using the word plot. But it is, I think it's a psychological, I think it is just a symptom of a disease, that if you don't have kids of your own, and you want to have kids, you have a summer camp to try to bug parents that do.
All right, we're talking with Vernon Dozier. He's an educator and a father. He feels summer camp is destructive. The songs that they teach the kids around a campfire are repetitive, redundant, ultimately irritating, and cause emotional problems for the parents at home. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. All right, you mentioned one song that I wrote down, and I think we have it on tape.
Yeah, that's the... Steamboat song.
Yes. Miss Susie had a steamboat. The steamboat had a bell. Miss Susie went to heaven. The steamboat went to hello, opera. And then it
continues. It continues on. And that's what I think is the most dangerous aspect, is because it's like a loop. The steamboat went to hello, operator, and it goes on like that. Another song which they teach them at summer camp, which I think is about as sadistic and destructive as anything I've ever heard, has to do with promoting a commercial product, which is Bazooka Bubblegum.
Now, that's the one you faxed us. It says, my mom gave me a penny. She said, go get some What is this?
My mom gave me a, my mom gave me a penny. She said, go get some money, but I don't want no money. Instead, I want some bubble gum, bazooka, zooka, bubble gum. It goes on and on like that.
And this is a song that...
This is a song my kid learned at camp. Now, what happens is the child comes home. They start singing these songs around the campfire. It irritates me to... Boy. And the other parents that I've talked to, too. Emotional problems. And then you wind up smacking a child that doesn't deserve it. You feel bad. The child feels bad. And yet you know she also did deserve it.
Are you hitting your daughter?
You know, Mr. Henry, you put that like, are you hitting your daughter like I'm a bad...
Let me ask you, are you striking your daughter because...
Yes, sir, I have to when she starts in with, my mom gave me a nickel, she said go get a pickle, but I don't want no pickle, instead I want some bubble gum. Bazooka, zooka, bubble gum. And she keeps going on and on and on with it.
But are you smacking the child when she...
Yes, sir, I am. And she's my daughter, so... I don't understand her.
Well, she's singing a song she learned at camp.
But it is an irritating song that they taught her at camp to try to drive me and other parents. Now, I've got $1,600 in overdraft at the bank, and you're saying, so in other words, you're telling me don't spank her.
Well, I'm saying that the child isn't doing anything that she knows is wrong.
I have asked her not to sing the song. Okay, I'm overdrawn $1,600, three Visa cards didn't get paid, and I'm not supposed to smack her when she starts in with this. This is how homes are hurt, Mr. Henry. Now, I know the song. My mom gave me a penny. I told you about that one.
All right, I got the Miss Susie had a steamboat, the steamboat had a bell, and I got my mom gave me a nickel. She said go get a pickle. Is that...
These are two of the songs that they're teaching them at summer camp. Yes, sir. Now, I have the other one, City Girls, They Wear... Oh, here it is. This is called Country Girls, and this one is particularly difficult because it's about women, and it keeps going on and on. It goes, country girls, they wear those big gold boots. City girls, they wear the same. Mountain girls go barefoot every time, but they get there just the same. Okay, now that's the song, and I smacked my daughter. I apologized to her, but I said if I ever hear it again, I'm going to give you not only the front of my hand, but the back of my hand as well. Because the first time I just gave a full front hand slap. But if I hear that my mom gave me a penny, I'll give her a backhand too. And I'm sorry to say that.
I got to tell you, there's nothing in the world that would make me smack my kid because he or she was singing a song.
And I understand that good for you. You want the round of applause? Is that what it is?
No, sir, I didn't want the round of applause.
Well, because you're saying basically you're better than me. And
well, I am saying I'm better than you in that case. If the child is singing a song that is irritating to you, that is causing you to not balance your checkbook properly, then tell the child that...
No, I'm not going to tell the child anything. This is the fault of the summer camps that teach this garbage. And the other thing, I guess you won't like this either, I have put the parents of other children on notice. If they come to my home and I listen to them singing, my mom gave me a nickel, I'll go outside and I'll smack the kids too that are not my children. Because, man.
All right, so what we have is a man frustrated by the songs that a child learns at summer camp. He feels it's being done on purpose to drive parents crazy when the kids get back from camp. He also, and the thing, you know, he can go nuts if all he wants, but he's also said that basically any of the kids' friends that come over, he'll smack them too. He has not been able to balance his checkbook properly. He has also been overdrawn, and he has also not paid a number of bills because every time he sat down to do the bills, his daughter started in on a couple of these songs. Now, this man, Mr. Dozier, has faxed over five different songs that he has sent to media all over Southern California and indeed the United States. One is Miss Susie Had a Steamboat. The other is My Mom Gave Me a Nickel. And there's a couple of others here that we can put up on the website. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. If your kid comes back from summer camp singing one of these songs, does it drive you to distraction? And should summer camps stop teaching kids these songs? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Mr. Vernon Dozier. He's an educator. His daughter comes home from summer camp singing songs that are so irritating. He's not been able to balance checkbooks, get anything done financially. Mr. Dozier, and you're talking about the little song here. My mom gave me a nickel.
Can I just jump in for a second if I could, Phil?
Yeah.
The whole reason why I'm on your program is I don't like that song and I don't like others, and for you to sing them only makes it worse. And
I'm sorry. I wanted to give people...
Well, you can read the lyrics, which I've faxed out.
My mom gave me a nickel. She said go get a pickle, but I don't want no pickle. Instead, I want some bubble gum, bazooka, zooka, bubble gum. Is that one of the songs?
That is one of them. The other one is that Steamboat song, which I would love to just... If I met the camp counselor that wrote that, and you know they write them. The camp counselors write all of these. They get them all copywritten. They are all published with BMI before the camp starts. And then they come into camp armed with these songs that they're going to teach children.
All right. I'm going to ask you what you would like your daughter to do other than that.
I would like her to go. There's nothing wrong with her getting started. Next year is going to be a very pivotal year for my daughter. She'll be in the sixth grade. And I think beginning to work on her math and work on her history, which she was horrible in last year, I think that's a great thing. Also, she can meet other children on the Internet. Just talking to kids in chat rooms is a great thing. Then sitting there like you ran into a brick wall when you're, you know, how a lot of these kids are born and they have a, you know, there's something wrong with them upstairs. And she sits around singing like one of these kids you see singing for money. Down on a street corner, my mom gave me a nickel, and all I want to do is smack her for the disappointment she's visited on me and her mother.
1-800-449. Does her mother not like it?
Whatever I think her mother thinks.
All right, let me go to Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann is on the line. Hi, go ahead, Ruth Ann. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I just want to say that he's an adult. He should act like an adult, first of all. Secondly...
What are you talking? I am acting like an adult.
Let me finish.
I'm trying to keep control of my kid.
Secondly, camp songs have been around a lot longer than he has. They are a fleeting moment. I went to camp. I learned camp songs that summer. After that, I didn't sing them anymore. They bring back memories to me as of a lot of fun. But you're spoiling that for your daughter. And thirdly, if you hit a child, I live in Florida. If you hit a child, any child, you'd be in jail so fast. It wouldn't matter what it was.
Oh, you're one of those. Oh, you're one of those people that butts in and tells me how to discipline my kids.
No. I'm not, sir.
These songs are direct hate from the counselor to the parents.
No, I don't.
It is hatred flowing from the counselor to the parents.
Well, wait a minute. My mom gave me a nickel. She said go buy a pickle. Now that's hatred.
If you. Okay, listen to this. My mom gave me a nickel. She said go buy a pickle. So in other words, I'm supposed to listen to that? Huh?
That's like the song, you know, 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
That you learned in camp? You learned that when you were a kid, 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
Right.
Holy Jesus.
Wait a minute. 100 bottles of beer, everybody knows. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can sing about 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
But it's an irritating song. I will agree with that.
So who pays for the emergency room? I was taken to the clinic in April. I heard that song so much I started to bleed from the nose. Who pays for that?
You're pathetic.
Oh, I'm pathetic. I'm the one going to the emergency room.
That's your problem. That's your problem. You can't learn to control things? That's your problem.
Why can't my daughter come home and make a cabin out of popsicle sticks like other children do instead of making my nose and ears bleed singing bazooka, zooka, bubblegum, bazooka, zooka, bubblegum?
I think that your daughter is going to grow up a lot quicker than you are.
Probably, yes.
You are acting like a child.
Thank you, Ruth Ann, for your call.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. It's very difficult for me to imagine a girl... smacking a kid because they sing a song. Trey, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Trey, go ahead.
Hey,
turn your radio down.
I just think it's a shame that you're blaming that you can't balance your checkbook on your kids.
Well, who am I supposed to blame?
Well, I was supposed to blame myself. Look at yourself.
No, I'm doing the work. I go into my office at night, I try to balance the checkbook, and then I hear her singing about country girls going around the mountain and all of this.
And how much did you mess your checkbook up, by $2,000?
Yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did.
I mean, I could see it if you missed it by $10 or $20, but $1,600 or something else wrong.
Oh, really? And what are you intimating?
I'm just saying that you can't take care of your money, and you're wanting to blame it on your kids, what I'm saying.
Sir, why is it a kid's got to sing a stupid... What is that supposed to mean, Miss... Her steamboat went to Hello Operator?
Well, they're silly songs.
What does that mean?
It's camp. It's camp. It's kids' camp. I mean, I don't understand the songs
sir,
either. You know, my kids sing them, too.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
They don't mess my checkbook up with $2,000.
Do your kids sing these bubblegum deals, this bazooka gum deal?
I haven't heard those
songs. All right,
songs.
Then if you have...
Songs,
all right, sir, then I don't mean any disrespect, but you got to shut the pie hole and listen to me because you don't know... Like,
don't tell anybody to shut their pie hole around here, okay?
Oh, you're the one who sounds like an idiot on here, not me.
How am I sounding like an idiot?
You're the one blaming you can't balance your checkbook on your kids.
I didn't say just because they're kids. I said because they're singing that bubblegum song.
Well, that's an easy way out. You need to look at yourself, I think. That's just my opinion.
Okay, there you go.
Hey,
now you're laughing at me.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Right. I am laughing at you.
Okay. That's fine.
Look, Mr. Dozier.
No, that's okay.
No, Mr. Dozier, we're not trying to...
No, you guys want to laugh at me, that's fine. But I'm the one who had to sit there and with my head tilted back in the car with cotton stuffed up my nose as my wife drove me to the emergency room because my daughter is sitting there singing Bazooka Zooka Bubblegum and the whole G.D. Steamboat song, which I...
All right, Trey, I agree with you, sir, just for the record.
I agree, sir. Yes,
well, you're the one that's sounding like a child, just like the man said.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, I'm not kicking you and saying that they're not silly songs. I'm not saying that, but to blame that on your kid and that on the song, that's crazy.
All right, Trey, thanks.
That's crazy.
Thank you, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Do summer camp songs sung by children drive us to distraction? Should they not be taught in the summer camps? As Susie Had a Steamboat, the Bubblegum Song, all of these songs the kids learn around the campfire. Some parents think that they are distracting to the point of messing up checkbooks and even ruining marriages. Are the camp counselors, do they have it in for parents? Our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with more on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. Talking to educator Vernon Dozier, are you in a cocktail lounge, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, because I hear piano playing?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay.
And if you, I suppose, you know, I can hear the question kind of in your, why am I here? It's because I want to calm down after a pretty tough day of having to deal with this kind of stuff at my house.
Is your daughter still singing these songs?
Well, let me put it to you this way. The bingo, do you have the material that I faxed, Mr. Hendry?
I got it right here. Now, let me ask you this question. What is the significance of the bingo song?
This is the song that I think, more than anything else, parents need to be aware of. There was a farmer who had a dog, and Bingo was his name. Oh, B-I-N-G-O, B-I-N-G-O. Now,
I'm familiar with it.
All right, now. You're supposed to drop the O off and then drop the G off, and this will go through your head daily. Now, I wrote that to Channel 2 and some of the other news media outlets that the bingo song, somebody's got to get rid of it or there's going to be a homicide committed. Now, my daughter, who I love very much, started in with that, B-I-N-G-O, and I started to sing with her, and I blew it. Because you're supposed to go B-I...
I know, B-I-N-G, and then you clap, right?
Yeah, and I said O twice. So she looked at me, and I had to leave the house humiliated because I can't sing this G-D song from camp that I hate.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, Phil, and hi, Mr. Dozier. My name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
And I am a mother of a 13-year-old. And for me, I'll tell you what, I rejoice when my child sings. I understand that sometimes some of the things they sing can be annoying, just like other things. But to hear a child's voice, the day that voice is gone is the day that, you know, will make you crazy. And also, I really...
Oh, I don't know what you mean, but I'm looking forward to my daughter going to college and actually beginning her life as a human. I mean, I'll miss her, but the sooner she starts taking life seriously, the better.
Well,
and I don't want to have my daughter growing up to be one of these junky whores, you know, with her hair smelling like bacon and her duffel bag full of dirty clothes, singing these stupid songs. It's not ladylike. And I won't have any daughter of mine growing up like that, I can assure you.
Mr. Dozier, I don't think any of us would wish for that for our children, but also at the same time, she's in sixth grade, and there are, as you know, as a parent as well, you know that they go through certain stages. And my son at 13, although he's not allowed to listen to it in the house, you know, they're into this whole rap music. And I'll tell you what, even on television, some of the stuff you can see and hear with the rap stuff about nasty words I don't even want to say, I thank God that he's not singing that. I'd rather have him singing the Steamboat Song
well,
and the Pickles
and
Bubblegum.
It's interesting because I've listened to Ice-T, Public Enemy, certainly 50 Cent, and I would rather, and I don't mean any disrespect to you, Lisa, but I would rather hear about an African-American pimp beating women than hear one of these songs. And
oh, come on.
I swear to God.
Well, wait a minute. You're just saying that you want your daughter to grow up, and you rather hear...
I'd rather hear about black gangs gunning down police officers while they're drinking coffee.
Why is that, though?
You know, I don't know. I really don't. I've gone to my pastor. I've asked friends. I don't know.
Without due respect...
At B-I-N-G-O, I would rather hear Ice-T singing about the pusher in his neighborhood.
Okay, with all due respect, Mr. Dozier, I can't judge you. That's your opinion, and we're all entitled to that. But at the same time, for myself, I would rather, in not arguing with you, I'd rather have my child singing about pickles and bubblegum rather than the nasty stuff we see out on the street.
In my opinion, I
want to teach my child to respect authority, which is me as a parent and the police officers, although we may not agree with what they do all the time. And
well,
also,
right.
You know, I don't want my son out there killing people and drinking and,
I don't want him speaking
that way to people.
All right, listen to this. Ham and eggs. I like mine fried nice and brown. I like mine fried upside down. Ham and eggs. Flip them. Ham and eggs. That's the most asinine. And my daughter was singing that all last week.
Okay, but
and
Mr.
instead
Jones,
of that, you
want to
hear a song about cops getting killed and women being beaten.
Of course.
What do you mean, of course?
That do you really think, Mr. Dozier, though, that is? Would you like your daughter walking into one of your best friend's homes or to your
Whatever.
Parents' house and singing about killings and disrespecting authority, or would you rather have her singing about ham and egg?
Well, if it's a toss-up between bingo and finding a dead whore in an alley, it's a toss-up. It really is.
In front of her family?
I think that's a little bit, and it's just my opinion, I think that's sick thinking.
All right, listen, Lisa, thank you very much for your call.
How dare you, Lisa? How dare you judge me?
I'm not judging
you.
That's my opinion, and we're all entitled to our opinion.
Here's another one that she learned at camp, and it makes me amazing grace how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you know the number of wire coat hangers I go through?
Wait a minute. That's not a campfire song.
What is it?
That's a spiritual. That's a church song.
Oh, bull crap. They sang that around a campfire, I thought.
You know, the other thing, Mr. Dozier, is that, you know, if you perhaps spend a little more time with your daughter and getting her to teach her, songs you would like her to learn rather than sitting in a bar.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Lisa. All right, thanks. You'd rather listen to a song about mayhem and murder and gangbanging than a song about ham and eggs, huh?
I said it was a toss-up.
Here is Mike. Mike, go ahead. Mike?
Yeah.
Go right ahead, sir.
Mr. Dozier, you say you're an educator. Who do you educate? What do you...
I'm a high school mathematics teacher. I also a varsity football coach.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but I don't think I would want you teaching my child anything. I think your views are a little off there. I mean, camp isn't designed to bring stress upon the parents. It's to give the parents a break in the middle of the summer, so, you know, just for the kids to go off and to be kids. I mean, they are children after all. They're not adults.
Could you say that again? I'm sorry.
I said these children that we're sending to camp, they are children. They're not adults. We can't expect them to come home as adults. They're going to learn to
Mike, are you chewing on something right now?
No, he's fine. Your phone's breaking up a little bit, Mike.
Well, I'm traveling down the road. I'm a truck driver.
Okay. Yeah, your phone is ringing. But this is a very good point that you made, that these are just simple songs.
Simple songs, huh? Simple songs. The bus goes up and down, and the bus driver goes up and down. And meanwhile, I lay there at night in a cold sweat, in a malaria sweat, thinking about that. The bus driver goes up and down.
Have you considered some anger management classes?
I think I'd like to look into it. Because my doctor said...
That might help, because, I mean... It seems to me like you're letting songs get to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, my doctor said that campfire songs should not bring out symptoms like that are malaria-like.
Yeah,
I have
exactly.
Fever and
you have fever and sweating when you hear a campfire song?
Yes, I do. And diarrhea.
Yeah, that's bad.
I don't think I'd like them either if I was going to break out in a fever and a sweat, but I think there's an underlying problem here. I don't think it's... song itself.
Well, there you go. But you agree that if you broke out in a fever and a sweat and had diarrhea, you wouldn't like campfire songs, correct?
Well, yeah.
All right.
That proves my point. I don't like rap music. I think rap music's trash. I mean, a lot of it. You know.
Hold on for a minute. My daughter's calling. What do you want, honey?
Bingo was his name.
Shut up. See, she started in with that bingo bit. She starts with that, and then it's going to be 1-2, whap, whap, front and back.
There's where you need anger management, sir.
Yes, sir.
You're wanting to beat on your kid.
Horrible.
Said over the air,
it's horrible.
You said over the air that your wife thinks whatever you tell her to think.
Of course. No woman goes against her husband.
You have a problem with authority. You want to be in control all the time. You sound like a control freak.
I'm told that no song should give you the runs.
But no family man, no good father or husband should be a total control freak. Other people have rights, too. Come on.
Well, you make sense, Mike, but that's probably because you're out there working hard, and I'm in here in my underwear trying to balance a checkbook.
Well, I
keep my checkbook balanced. I mean,
Can you do that?
Thank the good Lord you have kids, okay? I've buried two of my sons.
Oh, sir, I'm very sorry to hear that.
Three sons, I've buried two of them.
No, it's not because one of them was singing camp songs, was it?
Oh.
Sir, it's not because one of your boys was singing camp songs, was it?
Oh, that's uncalled for.
No, I just...
That man buried two sons. Mike, we're very sorry for your loss.
You know, I mean, thank the good Lord you still got your children that you can be with them.
I'll tell you what, Mike, I envy you, because I'd love to bury a couple if I hear that.
All right, that's all I want to hear from this guy. He's a sick, animal.
You are a sick man.
Sick animal. All right, Mike, thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks. Let's go to this phone call. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
And bingo was his name,
you little bastard. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, making pot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1 year ago.
We've always been angry about America, colonialism, America pushing its weight around, telling everybody what to do. And then we look at America, and we see them play baseball. You tell us what to do. You tell us how to pump the oil. Then we look at your guy. You play baseball.
We tell you what to do when you run planes into our building.
Be quiet for a bit. I'm going to tell you something.
Don't tell my guests to be quiet or my callers, okay?
Just be quiet. quiet. Just shut up for a minute. I'm going to tell both of you something. If you wish to keep this bad will between Arab people and American people, keep playing this baseball, which is no game for a man.
Okay, but...
Shut up! Shut up, listen to me. Keep playing this baseball, which is no game for a man. Is
not a game for a man.
Shut up.
Don't tell her to shut up, okay?
I'm asking you to shut your mouth for just 1 minute. Baseball is not an international game. This game played only in America. And why must Americans be so stupid? Don't you all realize you want to heal? You must stop shoving America way down your throat.
We're not telling
you. Why is baseball stupid?
Shut up. If the
Why do you keep telling me to shut up?
You asked me to come on your program, correct?
Yes.
All right, then why don't you shut up?
You're telling my caller to shut up, and I don't like that.
If the only thing you knew about America was baseball, you would think America is full of nothing but little girls.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But that is not all that you know about America. You know much more about America than baseball.
Yeah, you guys know a lot about it.
You guys, now you're, what am I, a terrorist?
Well, you're talking like you're defending them. You're talking like you defend the act of terror if we keep playing baseball.
I'm trying to tell you. This is the way to be friends with Arab people. Get rid of this game, which reduces a man to a child, that takes a man and gelds him of his essential manhood, so that he's nothing more than a eunuch.
Why do we have to be friends with the Arab people? Why don't they be friends with us?
If we want to be friends with the Arab people, both of you shut up and listen to me.
If you tell me to shut up one more time.
All right, I'm telling her to shut up. Mandy?
Yes.
Shut up.
You shut up.
No, I'd like you to shut your mouth.
Why?
Don't tell
because
her to
I'm
shut
a woman?
Up.
If you don't want more 911, you know what to do.
Excuse me?
If you don't, did you like 911 or didn't you?
I did not like it.
Okay, then keep playing baseball. And if you don't play baseball, there will be no more.
All right, okay.
I mean,
look,
aren't
thanks.
There other things yeah. that would make the people...
Shut your mouth and...
You shut up. 1 year ago today on The Phil Henry Show, we call that bit, Shut Your Mouth. All right. Phil Henry Show here, our number 1-800-449-8686, and our souvenir shop is open if you, by the way, that was me doing the voice of Vernon Dozier in that bit. Now, we got all kinds of souvenirs that will remind you of the various characters that we do in our show. That's right, I was doing the voice of that guy, and the people that called in were unpaid and unprompted, and, you know. Anyway, go to our souvenir shop. We got the Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug. We got the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Teds of Beverly Hills shot glasses, and now new, the Teds of Beverly Hills stainless steel coasters. These are awesome. They come in a little rack, and, you know, you don't want people putting drinks down on your coffee table. You get that. It looks ugly. Have a little civilization. Have some class. Put that drink on a coaster like a normal human being. And do it with the Teds of Beverly Hills coaster. Also, our official T-shirt, Phil Henry Show gear, Ted's, I should say Bobby Dooley, Western Estates gear is all there. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. Now, we're going to go to our email file here. And I'm, by the way, I'm playing this music because it was the CD that was in the CD player, and I just thought I'd pot it up again and keep playing it. Cornball organ stuff. Some guy playing with his organ. Hello, Phil. You went off last week about fat bastards on the cruise ship. I was on a cruise ship, and I'm a fat bastard. Now order the GD shirts that you promised, the 4X Teds of Beverly Hills shirt. You're the boss. You're strong. You're in charge. They can't tell you what to do. Or was it your idea not to sell anything larger than a double X? Jesus. Regards to you and the staff, Small Bob, Alaska. Okay, Fatso, we've gotten enough of your emails. I'm going to try and get some 4Xs, all right? Jesus. This guy every month with your emails up there in Alaska, and man, they must grow them big up there. Because when it's cold, friend, the only thing is to sit down to a healthy heaping portion of moose. Or yak. Anyway, Bob, we're going to do what we can, man. I asked Deborah, I said, can we get some 4X? She said, what? What is a freaking circus coming to town? What do you need that for? I said, well, I got a couple of listeners in Alaska. She says, oh, that. So she got your emails too, Bob. Dear Phil, I am also on writeaprisoner.com. Please mention my ad. My name is Matt Fain, 815003. Awesome show. Well, if you go to writeaprisoner.com, look up Matt Fain. Matt's a good-looking guy. Nice guy. Looks like a great guy. He's holding a kitten. Wouldn't know that he butchered up a whole busload of retirees on their way to Laughlin. I don't know what he did. Honest to God, I have no idea. A lot of these people on Write a Prisoner don't tell you what their crime was, so please, by all means, check that out. Susan Smith's on there. She's our featured Write a Prisoner this month. Our featured prisoner. We have a featured prisoner this month, Susan Smith. That's it from our mailbag. If you go to writeaprisoner.com, you'll, you know, you can scroll down to F and look for Matt. Coming up, we'll have more in the world of sports. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have not yet gotten back to me on my request for an interview with Michael Pittman. Look, if I can't interview him, have the common courtesy to email me back, all right, Bucks? Because if I get you guys in my crosshairs, life ain't going to be pleasant at all. And what about that fat slob Simeon Rice? What am I going to hear from him? That cool drink of water, that big mouth. All of that coming up. By the way, Chris Webber's in trouble. Ralph Sampson ain't paying his child support. And the scum just keeps right on flowing down, oozing down the gutter there in pro sports. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I hope everybody's okay with that hurricane down there. Hurricanes suck. They blow. And I was down in South Florida when hurricanes threatened to take me out. One was back in the summer of 1995, and it was on its way to North Miami Beach. It was about to hit North Miami Beach. I think it was called Hurricane Aaron. And I decided to drive north to West Palm Beach, and it was there that I would ride out the storm. The hurricane would hit in the middle of Miami, North Miami Beach, in the Miami metro area, and it would bypass me, right? So I'm sitting there on a hotel bed in West Palm Beach with my feet up. I'm staring at the TV set, and the weather guy comes on and says, "And now the hurricane is headed directly for West Palm Beach. So have a nice day." And I'm, "Oh, that's great. So I got to get back in the car and drive back down there." Huh? What an idiot. And then the cops in Miami are great. Seriously, they're okay. And I was driving, I had a house on the beach. When I say a house on the beach, actually I had an apartment on the beach, and it wasn't all that great, but in any event, it was on the beach. Well, everything from the Intercoastal Canal east, everything from the Intercoastal Canal to the beach is off limits during a hurricane warning. You can't get over there. And I said, "Look, I got to get over there. I got my passport, all of my vital papers." "Yeah, okay, go ahead." They let me through. But the bottom line is the hurricane didn't hit. I wasn't there for Andrew, but it I heard that was just horrific. And we heard, we carried a lot of the coverage of WIOD. At that time, I was on the air in Atlanta. And it was something to listen to. People just, yeah, I mean, man, you just got to pull the roof of the house over your head and hold on. Especially when you're talking about, are you aware that hurricanes have like five categories, and it has to do with wind speed? What's that category five? It's like 150 miles an hour, isn't it? That'll take your face clean off. That'll peel the skin right off your face. Then you get down to a Category 1, which is just ahead of a tropical storm. Now, tropical storms, 40, 50 miles an hour. I flew out of Miami in a tropical storm once. Because I figure, hurricane, whatever, man. And I got a tropical storm going, and I'm trying to get the hell out of town because I'm going to a golf tournament down in Mexico. And I get off the air. Get a load of this. Talk about timing and talk about luck. I get off the air at 6 o'clock at night in Miami. It's coming down like cats and dogs. It's just somebody opened up a spigot. It's pouring. It's just peeing. It's leaking. Something isn't zipped up there, man. It's coming down. And I get out into the car. Now I got a cab driver whose windshield wipers don't work. What is that about? What's that about? We got about a halfway down the street on the North Bay Causeway. I go, what are you doing, man?
I can't see anything, man.
Well, I can see that. Get me out of here. Get me another cab. I got to make a plane at 7 o'clock at Miami International. Come on, let's go. Cats, windshield wipers don't work, man. So we get another guy, and these cats, a lot of these cabbies down in Miami are Haitians, so they're speaking French to each other. Which means this ass in the back seat got into the other guy's cab. I all the way get to the airport. I get out of the car, and I realize I left my checkbook with my cash and my driver's license in this guy's stinking cab. And that was the last time, and forgive me for saying this, but that's the last time I ever took a cab in the city of Miami. That's the last time. Now, I've taken cabs since in other cities. That's the last time. I hire cars. You know how you hire the town car? Sure, yeah, that's right. It costs $40-$50. Guess what? It's worth it. It's worth it. And so I had to spend that whole weekend. Thank God a friend of mine owed me some money for a certain sexual favor I did for her. But no, I'm kidding. So they owed me some money. So I was able to have a pretty good weekend down in Mexico in Baja Mar, drinking tequila and shooting, I think, about a 135. So a lot of fun. Anyway, that's my experience. But then I got on the plane, and the pilot, of course, says,
ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a little bumpy going out tonight. As you know, we got a tropical storm. And
I did not care. As long as that thing got off the ground on time, that's all I cared about. Because if you're flying out on a tropical storm or a hurricane, it's about a minute, and then it's cool. Because what you're doing is you're just getting up through the storm, and a minute later, you're riding out, man, you're living large. It's a gorgeous thing. So that's exactly what happened. I got out to San Diego. We took the boat down to Mexico, and that was the end of that. That's my extent. Now, if you're in a Category 1 hurricane, 74 to 95 miles an hour, see, this is for you guys that don't live in hurricane country. You guys that do live in hurricane country, and I have a lot of you because that's where a lot of my stations are, then you're listening to something that is so redundant and repetitive, you want to spit up liver bile. But please bear with me. Category 3 is 111 to 130. Category 4 is 131 to 155 miles an hour. Category 5, over 155 miles an hour. Category 6, 268 miles an hour. Category 7, wind speed of 500 miles an hour. And Category 8, 1,000 mile an hour winds. And that's the various categories for hurricanes. Now, the one that's on its way toward the middle of Texas is around 80 miles an hour. That's a Category 1. And still, they show it on TV, and those palm trees are bending over. Jesus, what's a cat? And the one that hit Miami, which was the Andrew, that was 150 miles an hour. Is that gust or is that, who knows? Anyway, I hope you guys are okay. There isn't really much to say when it comes to hurricanes. It's the weather report. Just hang in there, baby. Just get out of town, man. Don't be hanging around the house. Bug off. Get out. Go. Going to San Antonio. Nice people there. Is San Antonio getting any of the rain? It's just a little bit of rain over there. Just get out of there, all right? And make sure you're okay. And like that. Ain't it great to be in the South in the summertime between July and November, hurricane season? Here's the weather report. It's windy and it's raining. Back to you, Bill. What are you talking about? That's all it is. Well, can't you give us a report? It's a hurricane. What do you want me to tell you? It's a hurricane. It's a hurricane. It's windy and it's wet. It's windy and it's wet. Well, I mean, we have all kinds of news reports that we have to do. What do you guys, what news reports do you have to do? Some cat got blown through a window or something? Somebody got blown into a house? Windy and wet, man. There you go. Just like you. What do you mean, just like me? Just like you, you news anchor. All you guys are windy and wet, too. I got to put a freaking barometer in your trap. Windy and wet. What more can you say? 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, though, we're going to talk more about the CIA and President Bush. And, boy, are they chumping him. Man, that CIA. What a miserable, miserable excuse for an intelligence gathering organization. We're also going to be talking about how to eat. How to eat, meaning don't be fat. You can eat cheap, okay? And you won't have to get fat. And we also have our sports file to get into. We have tried to contact the Buccaneers. We've tried to contact the Lakers. We've tried to contact the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they think that they can just sort of ignore us because we're just some piece of crap radio show. Well, I got big fat news for you. You think this is some passing thing? Oh, I get it. They think it's some kind of a publicity thing. This is a passion of mine that is beginning to boil over. I'm through. I'm done looking at these stupid guys. Like, look at this. I'm looking at the All-Star game right now. Have you ever seen a dumber look on a face than on a ball player? A baseball player? A pitcher looking in for the sign? You ever seen a dumber looking human being in your life? So you say, well, why are you being so gratuitously cruel, Phil? I'm not being gratuitously cruel. What I have a problem with is that these guys are sold to us as great heroes and stars. And yet, while they sell them to us as heroes and stars, they've also unleashed upon us, in some instances, antisocial individuals. For instance, Michael Pittman with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Bucs think they got no responsibility? You're the guys that signed him to the contract in the first place. You're the guys that made that guy famous, and then you unleash him on the world. And you don't want to return a phone call? Who do you think you are? You sign this guy, you then turn him loose on a wife and a kid with the Hummer and the Mercedes and all of the just disgusting behavior, and, oh, you guys are too big for that, huh? You above that? You don't have to answer for that? You better believe you're going to answer for that. Either that or you put me in touch with his agent. What do you think of that? Now, Kobe Bryant, I got no problem with Kobe because nothing's been proven right, wrong, indifferent, whatever. Okay? The problem I got is if, and I just say if, I-F-F, if Bryant, a married man with a kid, invited a woman into his hotel room, what's that about? Oh, I see. He gets a pass, is that it? Because he's Kobe? Because he's Kobe Bryant? Because he pumps in 40 a game? So he gets a pass. He can act like a slob, because he's a Laker. Well, not on this show we don't. See, how many men are there out there anymore? Besides the few that I happen to know, how many guys are there that exist any longer that actually take umbrage with a fellow male who doesn't have respect for his wife and kid? See, most of us as men will sit around in a bar room and we'll chuckle and because we don't want to look like jackasses and we don't want to look lame. When some guy talks about screwing around on his wife, we sit there, we go, and we have another beer, right? I mean, is there a man out there that will say to a friend of his, what the hell are you doing? What are you, stupid? Pelton? I'm joking about that, Mrs. Pelton. He doesn't. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. We will accept phone calls this hour. We will accept phone calls this hour. We're accepting phone calls this hour. On the Phil Henry Show, we'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Here's something. I mean, look at this. This is perfect. Two Hamilton County, Ohio commissioners accused the prosecutor's office today of trying to derail their effort to hire an out-of-town law firm to assess the county's case, if any, against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals are a football team. The county of Hamilton, at least in the person of one of the commissioners, wants to sue the Bengals because their product, the product they put on the field, is so horrifically bad, so lousy, that they can't sell tickets, and therefore the county is losing money, money they put up to build a stadium, right? So in other words, the Bengals are not putting a good product on the field to help the county recoup its losses, and therefore they're suing the Bengals for putting a crap product on the field. Now, this is a great lawsuit just on the surface. That's fantastic. You gotta love that. But on top of that now Hamilton County is saying that the prosecutor's office in the county is not acting in good faith is not doing the job they should do, and they got to hire an out-of-town law firm. Now, do you understand what this means? It means that the Cincinnati Bengals, like a lot of sports teams, have got the local DA in their pocket, or at least they got the local district attorneys and prosecutors sucking their kneecaps for free tickets and luxury box seats, and they know this guy, and they want to meet that guy, and they hope that... Who on the Cincinnati Bengals do you want to meet? Other than maybe John Kitna. They're in a guy there that I want to meet. But I guess, you know, life is so dull in Cincinnati that they want to go out and have lunch with a Bengal. And so they don't want to sue the Bengals. So now these guys got to go to an out-of-town law firm. Get a load of that. Look it, you work for the people of that county. Get out of bed. Put your pants on one leg at a time like the rest of us. Go in there and do your job and kiss off your season tickets, okay? All right, good luck, Cincinnati, with that lawsuit. And by the way, how are they doing with that lawsuit against Creed? I hear they blew so horribly, some of their fans sued them. Did you hear about that? You heard about that, didn't you? Creed was in Atlanta. They sucked so thoroughly that their fans sued them. Because the guy went on stage after inhaling who knows, after huffing God knows what. And they said, you know what, I pay good money to come here, not to watch you stumble around like some freak show, man. Like something that just crawled out of the, the crypt. Mark Newman, my engineer, said that if he were drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, he'd rather stay in radio. If he were drafted by the Bengals, he'd rather continue working for this crap show than play for them. That's how bad it is. All right, here's Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hi.
How are you doing, sir?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I'm the... You are the man.
I can't believe you're not where?
Well, I'm just a really big...
Your phone is all messed up. Say that again.
I said I'm a really big fan of yours.
Thank you, sir.
I got the backstage pass, and I think you do the most original show on the radio.
Thank you.
Definitely in my state.
You're right.
And I think all the characters you do are awesome. R.C. Collins is my favorite character.
Did you hear him start singing Bingo Was His Name last hour?
Was that him?
Oh, yeah, dude.
In the background?
Yeah.
Okay, that was awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man.
I think the 360 webcast is awesome, and you are the man, and I appreciate it.
Well, thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
God bless. All right, Ask Kissing at 1-800-449-8686. No, that was very nice, Matt. I appreciate that very much, pal. You're a good guy. Pete, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
Hey, Pete, you live in Myrtle Beach, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, you want to know how my screener spells that?
How?
M-E-R-D-A-L.
That's all right. Hey, I'll tell you what. The Bengals are going to be a lot better this year.
Whatever. Whatever, man. Yeah, good for them.
Carson Palmer?
Huh?
Brand new coach in Carson Palmer. You watch.
Who's he?
Who is he?
Yeah.
He only won the Heisman.
Carson Palmer's the coach?
No, Carson Palmer's the quarterback.
Oh, is he the guy from SC?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't follow college ball at all. Just
and some guy named Lewis is the coach. But that,
Lewis?
Yeah.
Joe
be
Lewis?
Huh?
Hey, look, you know, they may be better, but don't you agree? Well, I don't even know. I don't care whether you agree or not, but don't you got to understand the beauty and the originality of suing a team because they stink.
Oh, I think it's funny.
It's beautiful.
It is.
It's beautiful because, see, this is the beginning of the end for all of that public money, man. I'm telling you. It's the beginning of the end where these ball clubs hold a city hostage by saying, well, we're going to leave unless we get a brand new stadium, this, that, or something else. And then the fans and the city turn around and say, okay, and guess what? We're going to sue you till you bleed if you stink so bad we can't recoup our losses. And they build a stadium there in Hamilton County, and the Bengals stink it up. And so, boom, they're getting sued. Since we've gotten successful, we've been under a constant barrage of people attacking me, attacking my character, Stapp said in one of two lengthy voicemails he left at the Orlando Sentinel newspaper. And some of the things are just made up. With 30 million albums sold, the post-grunge group with a Christian tinge stepped out of the limelight shortly after four fans sued the band for $2 million following a concert in Chicago, that they described as lackluster. For instance, when fans said he appeared to have passed out on stage, though, Stapp said he was making a dramatic statement during the song, Who's Got My Back? It was a symbolic personal gesture, Stapp said of his decision to lie down during the show. I had some things going on in my life. I kind of felt alone, and it was a symbol that I didn't think anybody had my back at the time. Some people get it, some people don't. In his messages, Stapp sounded frustrated but not angry and very serious. We appreciate the fans. We know that the fans are the reason we are here today, and that night we gave it everything that we had, like we do every night. Oh, okay. Well, I guess they were okay. I guess you guys that are suing them, you blow. Yeah, whatever you say, Scott. You know, let me tell you something, man. Coming from an entertainment background myself, because I are an entertainer too, like you, what you do when you stink, you just say, oh, I was being satirical. See, when you're not funny, then you say, oh, it was satire. 1-800-449-8686. We are accepting phone calls this hour and this hour alone. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
What, how bad is Creed? Because he goes on to say, this guy Stapp goes on to say, in the past, if we gave a subpar performance, we always give a free show after that. I mean, how many free shows you give it out? Just how bad do you suck? Then he goes on to say, if these allegations are true, we would, of course, give the fans a free show, but they're not true. We did a great show. I got to tell you something, Scott. If the fans basically say you blew, you blew. I mean, there's no in-between. I like to know that you go out and you give it your all right? But the fact of the matter is, you know, I ain't saying this guy uses drugs, but then, I don't know. There was a time when it was all right to watch a guy pass out and OD on stage. That was part of the fun. But nowadays, today's concert goer is more demanding. Much more demanding than we were in our day. Like when I went to see Iron Butterfly and I saw their lead guitar player just collapse and fall off the stage, I went, oh, yeah, radical. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, this little girl that ran away with that American Marine, did you hear about this? She was from Britain, and she ran off with an American Marine. She met him on the internet. She's 12 years old. She told him, allegedly, that she was 19. And they met at, I believe, Heathrow, and they flew to Paris. And the parents were going ape, wondering where she was. And Interpol was out looking for this Marine. And they had the man from Uncle looking for him. And they had everybody. The CIA, because apparently that's all they're good at doing now, looking for runaway kids. Because God forbid those guys should get anything straight when it comes to Iraq. And they finally, the little girl flew back to London, either of her own accord or was put back on a plane by this Marine. This 31-year-old guy, this guy's name is Studebaker. So this guy's on the internet trolling for women, which is in and of itself not a bad thing. Finds a woman that he thinks is 19, meets her at Heathrow, they fly to Paris, and the kid's on a plane coming home. You know, at my house, here's the drill. This is a simple drill, and every kid in the house knows it. At any time, I can bust into your computer and look at the history and look at the emails. At any time, I'm giving you fair warning. I'm sorry, kids. I know there's some things that you like to keep private, and I understand that. Believe me. But when it comes to your computer and your ability to communicate with the outside world, I got to monitor it. So at any time. And that's number one. Number two, no kid leaves home unless they want to leave home because it sucks. So believe me, it ain't the computer and it ain't the internet. It's the house she's living in. But I tell the kids, anytime you want to leave home with someone you meet on the internet, that's fine with me. But I want to be able to know it. If you want to leave, if you want to get out, if you want to make my financial burden less than it is, please, by all means, do it. I'm kidding, of course, but you wouldn't know it looking at the faces of my producer and associate producer. Now let's move to a phone call here. This is Dan. Hello, Dan.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Very good, sir.
First of all, I would like to say this is a great honor for me to talk to you.
Well, it's nice for you. Nice for you to call.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm actually blushing right now. But right.
I am too a little bit. It's funny. I picked up on that, and I feel it. I do. Okay. I kind of feel what's going on.
Okay, but there is something though. I've been listening to you for the last, I think, 3.5 years, 4 years almost.
Yes, sir.
And I've been a great admirer not only of the people that you do, but also of the way you think, because sometimes you used to do these monologues.
Uh-huh.
And the things you were saying were extremely, for me, it was very open-minded, and you saw the world differently than many people. But I think something happened at a certain point, and there are certain things that I don't agree with you that I would like to discuss, if you permit me.
Are you hot?
I'm very hot.
What do you look like? No, go ahead.
Okay. But the only thing that I don't agree with you is when you speak about the Palestinian, you make the whole...
Can I ask you something, Dan? Seriously, yes, do you work out?
Yes, I do. Every morning. But...
Go ahead.
The thing is, you place the whole blame on one side, but the blame is to be shared by both sides. But you place only the mistakes on the leadership of the Palestinians, and you disregard... The other one, but...
Yes. I'm sorry. Do you use any kind of a moisturizer, or...
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. But I don't know the mark.
Go ahead.
And that's one... something happened...
Yeah. Yes.
Something okay. happened no. right. 2 years ago.
Go ahead.
I think it somehow traumatized you, and I do understand that, but it's also changed, sir. And it's affecting your sense of humor, too. It's not like it used to be.
Are you I don't want to say, but you're a pitcher or a catcher?
I don't play baseball. I'm more of a soccer guy.
I understand it. All right, well, I'm sorry. I would say, you're well-spoken for a homosexual.
Thank you.
I'm just kidding. Are you?
I'm not.
Okay.
My girlfriend
is
laughing.
Well, you know, I think what you're saying is the show is not 100% laughs anymore.
Exactly.
And no, it's not 100% laughs. It's about, I'd say, 60 to 70% laughs. It's about 30% serious stuff because, yeah, stuff has happened to me and has changed me, and I'm sorry you don't agree with me.
No. I'm just stating it. I'm not saying that you were wrong.
That's fine.
But
I do feel that I have more to... Let me say this. I have more to offer than just giggles. And I want to... Before I drop off the edge of this world, Dan, before I shuffle off this mortal coil, I want to be able to... show that I'm smart, not stupid like everybody says.
No, you.
I'm smart. I can do things.
If I may say one thing, you've always been serious, even through your laughs and your jokes. Mm-hmm. The things that you're, I noticed that even before, sometimes things you were saying were very sensitive to me, but you were saying it with humor. So for me, you were always 100% laugh,
right.
But also very 100% educational, because you make us laugh of also things we don't agree with.
But now that I'm, now I'm just being serious and not funny anymore.
You've always been serious, but I noticed somehow it's not that you've been serious, yeah. But you're less open-minded than you used to
be.
Oh,
okay. Could be.
That's all I'm saying. But bye-bye.
But you're still listening, and I appreciate that very much.
Sir, I would always be listening to you.
Thank you.
I'm not even from Canada. I'm actually from Ethiopia. But I'm also tell all my friends, and
right.
When I go home, I'm serious.
Are you black?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I can't have that. No, listen, thank you very much. You sound a slight French accent.
My French was the language that I learned since I'm a child.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Dan.
You're most welcome, sir. Thank you very much.
For calling. Sure. Are you black? Yes, I am. I'm sorry, I can't. Very good, Dan. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Ken. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Phil, you're a comedy genius, first of all.
Thanks.
I've been listening about 3 years, and I really enjoy how your show has evolved now that you kind of mix it up with the funny and the serious. I think that was a good move on your part.
Thanks.
You're quite welcome. Bobby Dooley is by far my most favorite character. I actually know people like her. I'm in construction, and I have to deal with, like, heads of associations all the time, and I just laugh like hell.
Yeah.
Because I think of you when I see some of these people.
Yeah, they're all in the capri pants, yeah.
Oh, you got it, man. You have got her down so damn cold. It's just marvelous. But I want to ask you, whatever happened to that lady travel agent that you used to do?
Oh, Colleen Kristen Brewster?
Yes, yeah.
Well, we're going to have to develop her a little bit more. She's a very difficult voice to do.
Really?
But I'm going to continue to... I liked her. I think we will do her in bits that we call one-offs, where it doesn't necessarily require phone call interaction.
Right.
I just like the idea of... But she's such a slut. Yeah. There was something about calling Kristen Brewster that wasn't quite real. First of all, she couldn't dress to save her life. She had a banana yellow pantsuit that she loved. She screwed every guy in every city she visited. She owned her own travel agency.
Which he always told people about.
Yeah, that she, and it was called On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster.
I loved the music, too. The music was great.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time you ever heard of a travel agency with some ego trip for some guy, I'm sure?
The first show I ever listened to you on was like maybe 3 years ago, and I'd never heard of you before, and she was on, and it was the one where she had like a cruise, and she made like these fat ladies go like in a separate room. And like I said, you know, the first 15, 20 minutes to listen to your show, I just could not believe it, you know, and it was just so damn funny.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
That means a lot to guys like me.
You're fantastic, man.
Thanks, dude. And continue to listen. Thank you very much.
I certainly will.
Okay, bye-bye. Oh, by the way, you're in Hollister, California, right?
Very much,
yeah. Yeah, so he immediately turns his radio up so he can hear himself say goodbye. Jesus, Ken. He's in Hollister, which was the home of the famous Booze Fighters Riot in 1948. And that was a group of motorcyclists that went to Hollister, California for a bike rally. And this was post-war, 1948 California. A lot of the guys that returned home bought motorcycles, a lot of the flyers especially. So they go to Hollister to have a bike rally. They have too much to drink. And the next thing you know, a big riot breaks out. And a movie was made about this called The Wild One, starring Marlon Brando. And eventually, it inspired a group of motorcycle enthusiasts, shall we say, to form a club called the Hells Angels. And from there, great history has been made. Which, by the way, the Hells Angels have been kept from wearing their colors in the Ventura County fairgrounds over here. Because they've been classified as a street gang. The difficult and tragic thing about all of this, whatever you think of the Hells Angels, they have never been convicted as an organization of anything. They have never been convicted as an organization of any criminal activity whatsoever. And to classify them as a criminal street gang doesn't make any sense. If you don't like Hells Angels colors, if you don't like to see that jacket, if that's your personal taste, that's your personal taste, but it doesn't give you the right to tell these guys they can't wear their club colors in the fairgrounds. See what I'm saying? See, the Angels have come up as this organization that a lot of people just flat don't like, and it goes back to the days in the 50s when they just, you know, they weren't wearing flat tops. And they continue to sort of rub a lot of people the wrong way. Maybe members of the organization get into trouble, but as an organization, you cannot say that they are a criminal enterprise. And if I were in that group, if I were the head of that club, I would sue somebody. I don't know who. I'd sue the hell out of them. That's almost slander. But they're not allowing them to wear their colors. Now, you say, well, what do you give a crap, Henry? All I'm telling you is, if they can do that to them, then they start to tell you what to wear everywhere you go. Maybe they don't like your big, fat nose. Maybe they think you ought to get a nose job before you walk into the L.A. County Fair. Maybe the L.A. County Fair don't like blue jeans. There's no ain't no dress code that I know of. How did I get on this bullcrap? Oh, yeah. Anyway, Hollister, California is where it all started. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
So anyway, the CIA apparently got a hold of a report that said there was uranium being purchased by Iraq, and they got a hold of this from the British. And the British got a hold of this from an African diplomat who dummied it up in Italy. And he gave it to the Italian police. Now, this guy wanted to make a couple of dollars, so he went in and he forged created a phony document alleging that Iraq had been in contact with his government to purchase uranium. This made it made its way into the hands of the Italian secret police, which then was turned over to the British, which then was turned over to the United States, which then was given to the President of the United States, which then he says, let's go get them. And everybody's making a big fat deal out of this. Like, this is the big smoking gun. The other thing that's really, that's just cracking me up. I mean, there are nights I just laugh myself to sleep. All the glee and joy and heel clicking being done by these people that were against the Iraq war because there's no weapons of mass destruction. You didn't find any. Didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. They're just happy as hell that no weapons of mass destruction were found. Now, with any luck, Saddam Hussein will come out of retirement and run the country again, right? That would complete the egg on the face for the Bush administration, wouldn't it? And that would complete your full throbbing, starts with an E, ends with an N, and it stands with pool, or it stands for pool. That would complete your full performance thing. Rhymes with election. Excuse me. So, you know, give it a... What's the point, man? What's the point? What is you people... So that future policy in the United States will not be dictated by this kind of cowboy action? Is that it? Because you know there ain't no turning the clock back in Iraq. You know that, don't you? What are you going to do? So that Bush won't get reelected in 2004? Okay, fine. Ain't going to break my heart. I could care less. I think he's done a fine job with foreign policy. I think he doesn't really know what he's doing as far as putting America back to work is concerned. And I'm not such a simple-minded fool as to say it's all the Democrats' fault. I'm just not that simple-minded. I'm just not falling into the full Republican camp on that one. You know, that full empty-headed concept that if it wasn't for the Democrats, this place would be Disneyland. We'd just all be living in Disneyland, right? So, because what I said from the beginning goes, baby, there wasn't a better guy to go after 9/11 than Saddam Hussein. And if you don't think it's changed the face of the world and made you safer, you are dreaming. If you don't think that what happened in Iraq has made your life better, you're dreaming. And let me tell you how. By taking out that government, not only did it take out a guy actively supporting terrorist organizations with money and with refuge, it sent a message that, quite frankly, the Arab states never thought was gonna be sent. It sent this message that we will go anywhere that it takes to mess up your day. The Saudis, the Syrians, even the terrorist organizations that have been harassing Israel over the last several hundred thousands of millions of months, all of them sort of sat up straight in their bed with their eyeballs bulging out going, say now. See, they didn't think it was going to happen, did they? They thought that we were so completely tied up with whatever Americans get tied up with, guilt, you know, survivor guilt, being the richest country, that we would never really make a move. We made a move so big, so powerful, that it actually has caused a lot of those countries to take a step back away from this path of intimidation through terror, and now they're going to deal with it straight up. Not only that, we've introduced something into that part of the world that makes them scared, makes them just, I mean, they haven't had a solid bowel movement since March. And that is that these dictatorships and these monarchies can just go the way of the dodo bird as fast as we'd like them to. Don't you think that makes those cats in Syria sweat bullets? You better believe it. And all the rest of those little tin horn dictatorships. See, that has introduced into the Middle East the concept that America can, with great difficulty, yeah, because there's so many Americans sitting back here just gleefully watching our guys getting killed, trying to set up some semblance of a democratic state, but America can introduce into that region of the world, other than Israel, the idea of a democratic state. And that's making, it would make anybody who leads a country down there right now ready to commit suicide. They're nervous. They're worried. The Iranians are sweating buckets. The Syrians are sweating buckets. It's changed the whole ball game, baby. So you cats still whining about the weapons of mass destruction. Man, hey, why don't you get up and see what time it is? Because I think it's either past your bedtime or it's way past you getting to work. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.